Okay, good evening. It's good to see you back this evening. I see you're all rested up and ready to go again. Praise the Lord for that. Let's take our Bibles this evening. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'd like to spend a little time in this section of Scripture, a section of Scripture that reminds us of the blessed hope himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his coming. And I don't know about you, but Jason, I was talking earlier that for years now, I've been saying, and you've been saying, Jesus is coming. And he hasn't come yet, but be assured, he is coming. And he may come before we finish tonight. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Especially to those of us who are redeemed by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have eternal hope in him, and he's going to come in the clouds and call us home to be with him. And we're going to go up together alongside him and enjoy him throughout all eternity. Man, what a hope we have. And so this section of Scripture reminds us of that here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll start at verse 13 down to verse 18. Paul says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for these precious words that you have given to us. And we can trust every one of them because they're from you. And we're thankful for the hope that we have, knowing that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Father, we're thankful that your Son is there preparing a place for us, as he tells us there in John 14. And as a result of that, let's not our hearts be troubled. Let's put our full confidence and trust and faith in him. Because in him all things are yea and amen. And Father, we are thankful for new life that we have in Christ. I pray tonight, if there's anyone here in this room that's never received Christ as their Savior, might your Spirit prick their hearts and convict their hearts of their sin and show them the lovely Lord Jesus Christ, how he came, he was born, and he lived, and he went to the cross, and there he died, and he shed his blood, he was buried, but he rose again. And that same power that raised him from the dead will raise us someday also. And we're thankful for that precious promise that you've given to us. So we pray for their salvation. We pray for any that are ill, not able to be with us. We pray your grace to be upon them. Father, thank thee for the good day that you've given to us, the great fellowship we've been enjoying with one another around the things of Christ. And Lord, what a privilege it is to pray one for another in fellowship. And to comfort one another's hearts with precious truths from your word. Thank thee again for Orlando Bible Church, for each one that attends here, is faithful to you through their presence here and their service in this local church. We pray for them as they continue to preach the gospel, continue to reach out into their homes, their neighborhoods, and around the city here, wherever they go. Might this church have the testimony of the Church of Thessalonica, how that they spread the word to the place where the Paul said wherever he went, their message was spread before he got there. And so might that be true of this local church. Now, Father, thank thee again for this time, for these precious hymns that we're singing, and all that's going to be done the rest of the evening. We wanted to bring glory to thee, and we want to exalt your Son through it all. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jason Martina, for that offertory. Thank the Lord for that indeed. In just a moment, Pastor Searles is going to come up. And I've been praying for a while and praying again. Perhaps some in our own ranks, God is going to one day send overseas. Child of God, we've been challenged. We have been challenged before, and by God's grace, we'll be challenged again. And the question is not trying to pick what the Lord has, specifically not trying to pick what we would like what to do, but what the Lord would have for us to do. And so each one, young and old, may we be willing to do whatever He has called us to do. And so we'll trust the Lord to have His will done in our hearts. He simply wants a willing servant. He wants a willing servant to do His will. Lord bless you, brother.
Well, the Lord is good, isn't He? Every day, every moment of every day, He's good. Sometimes we may not feel that way or see it that way, but He is. He'll never leave us, and He'll never forsake us. What a God we have, and what a privilege it is to serve Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know, this. I've been thoroughly blessed today, my wife and I. I'm going to share a blessing that was given to us this morning. The pastor and I were up here talking. A young man came up and said, how many pesos is $44? I said, I'll tell you, go back and multiply 44 by 45, and you'll find out how many pesos that is. So he took off. A few moments later, he comes back and he says, I want to give $20. To the ministry there on Palawan. What a blessing. God's going to multiply that. And God's going to bless that young man. Who knows what the future holds for him. To have a tender heart at that age. Toward the Lord. Toward the Lord's work. The Lord's people. There's something in store. And should we tarry that long, I hope I'll live long enough to see what that is. Something I'd like for you to pray about. I've been praying to the Lord about my field representative ministry that I have, and I go back to the Philippines every year in November and hold Bible conferences and visit all of our outreaches in the church there in Brooks Point, and the trip's getting harder and harder, so I'm asking the Lord if He would give me at least 3 more years to age 70 to be going back and forth and ministering there in the Philippines. I'd like to have a lot more, but I don't know why I just want to make it to age 70. I guess that's a full life, so... Now, that's a good place to start or finish, whatever. But I'm asking Him to do that, so appreciate if you'd pray about that. And also, a challenge I'd like to throw out to the church is that if you would pray about possibly sending your pastor over this November. I know he's up against a lot of heavy expense this fall with his son going to college. He's mentioned, we've talked about it several times, about visiting Palawan. It's not a cheap trip, but it's a very rewarding trip. And I know that if you pray and the Lord leads, I know that the money will be there and He'll be able to go with us this November. If anybody else wants to go, let us know. We invite all. More the merrier. But anyway, I just throw that out to you as a prayer request. And if you could pray, and we'd love to have Him come with us, because I know He'd be thoroughly blessed and enjoy the trip. So with all that said, let's take our Bibles and let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The subject matter at hand, as we see here, from these young believers there in the church at Thessalonica, was concerning the dead. What happened to them since they died before the rapture took place? And so this is one of the questions that Paul was asked by the Thessalonians, and he sent with Timothy and Silas back to him when he's in Corinth. So he sends this letter back to them to answer this question for them. You know, it's amazing. I think that maybe the people back in those days were a lot smarter than we are. Because Paul only spent how much time in Thessalonica? We know 3 weeks. Might have been a little bit longer. But as you study 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, look what Paul taught them in just a short period of time. I mean, the major doctrines are there. And he gave them a world of knowledge concerning Christ and concerning His promises, and it seemed that they absorbed a lot of it. Now, if you had given me this much stuff in 3 weeks, I wouldn't even retain the first three verses of it. But God is good. And Paul taught them these wonderful scriptures in order for them to serve the Lord faithfully there in Thessalonica in this pagan city that was controlled by immorality, paganism, and everything else. But these new believers who received Christ as their Savior when Paul was there, they were standing against all of that and staying true to Christ and trusting the promises of the Lord. But here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 through 18, it talks about the revelation concerning the dead in Christ and also in Christ's coming. And He is coming. He's coming for His own. And if you're not one of Christ tonight and He was to come in the clouds tonight, and those of us that go up, you're going to remain behind. And woe unto you. Especially if you've heard the gospel and you've rejected Christ as your Savior from your sin. You're going to go through a period of time, and when there's if you survive it, of great wrath, the wrath of God, before you pass away and you enter into a Christless eternity. So Paul here, he deals with this matter of the dead in Christ and the rapture of the church when it takes place. And we see here in verse 13, Paul makes something, he makes a statement here, as he says here in verse 13. He says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. In other words, Paul's saying, brethren, I want you to know something. I don't want you to be ignorant of this truth of the dead in Christ and the coming of the Lord. I don't want you to be ignorant about that. And we see he says, concerning those which are asleep. So Paul is referring to the dead, or the death of the body here. What happens to the body once it dies? Well, we know the physical evidence. We put it in the grave. We're to put it in the grave. And this never refers to the soul after a believer dies, because our soul and our spirit goes to be with the Lord, doesn't it? But our body remains where? In the ground. And so we're thankful for that wonderful truth. And the death of the body is spoken of as a sleep. The body goes back to the ground from which it was taken. And the word, which is translated sleep, is has a root from a Greek word which means to lie down. The body lies down in the ground. And it's a very interesting thing how that this word was used back in the days that they were using it then. And then on the other hand, we have this word resurrection, which means to what? To stand up. So the body someday, which is going to be, if we die, going to be put in the ground, and we're saved, and the Lord comes back in the clouds, it's going to be raised up. It's going to be resurrected. And that word comes from two words, as I said. This word means to stand up. So the Bible teaches that the body returns to the dust from which it is created. As we see there in Genesis chapter 2 and also verse 7 and also chapter 3 and verse 19. But the spirit returns unto the Lord. And we see that. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here concerning that. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. This is the hope that we have. Should we die, our bodies are going to go into the ground, but our soul and our spirits are going to go to be with the Lord. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, it says this: then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. As from where it was taken, the body's going to return back to the dust. It decays, goes back to the earth. And then he says, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So as Paul tells us there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 and verse 6 and 7, that to be absent from the body, if you're saved, your soul and your spirit goes to be with the Lord. And so what a blessing and comfort that is. I know there's a lot of people who wrestle with this in their lives because they don't really know what happens after they die. You know, when I was in the Marine Corps and in Vietnam, I wasn't saved. And I didn't know what would happen to me if something did happen. I would be killed there in Vietnam. But the Spirit of God was working on me, and I wasn't aware of that because I wasn't reared in church. I didn't know anything about, you know, salvation, grace through faith, or how to get saved or anything. And so, but there were times when I would think about, well, what would happen to me? If we go out on a mission today, we get killed, what would happen? Where would I go? Just all kinds of questions, and I didn't have any answers for them. And so once in a while I'd go to the worship service, quote unquote, that the Marine Corps held there in Phu Bai, Vietnam. And I'd go in there in the morning to listen to a message, trying to get some answers to my questions. And I'd go in there and the colonel would get up and he just talked about the Marine Corps and our country. Didn't say anything about God. I can't remember one time when I was in the United States Marine Corps for 4 years did anyone ever witness to me nor share the gospel with me. And so I've always had that question in the back of my mind. What happens? Where do we go? Are we reincarnated? People were talking about that. And other theories out there about the body and the coming back and somebody would mention heaven, somebody would mention hell, but that was about the extent of it. There wasn't any great expounding on it. So you're just kind of left out there in a haze. You just can't really reach out and get a hold of something. Then after I got out of the Marine Corps, went to a little Bible church. And my wife drugged me there, not really. But she went there because she had needs. Thankful that she did. And she kept inviting me to go, and finally one day I agreed to go. And that was the first time that I ever heard the gospel. How that I was a sinner. And I knew that. I knew my life wasn't righteous. The things that I would do, the things that I would think, places that I would go, those weren't holy things. But I knew that I was a sinner. And the preacher stood up with the Word of God, and he began to expound to me how I was one according to the Word of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then I began to reach out and get a hold of something that I couldn't get a hold of before. I'm a sinner. And the Spirit of God was beginning to help me to understand that. Because I needed to understand that in order to become saved. And so he talked about sin, that we're all sinners, but he talked about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who God sent to this sin-sick world to live the perfect life and to die on the cross for my sins, and how he shed his blood there for my sins. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sins. And it just all of a sudden, the Spirit started putting things together for me to help me to understand that I was a sinner and I was on my way to hell. But yet he began to also allow me to see that there was a hope. And that hope was not in the Pope. It wasn't in dope. But it was in the blessed hope himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't me seeking God. It was God seeking me and revealing those wonderful truths to me. For there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. That was true of me. The direction for my life was to go out and eat, drink, and be merry, and make millions of dollars, and so you can help other people. And that's just a crazy thing to try to follow, but that's where I was headed. But then all of a sudden, after I began to hear the Word of God, the Spirit of God began to help me to get a hold of some things that I couldn't get a hold of before concerning life, concerning death, concerning eternity, concerning God, concerning His Son. And in 1972, the Spirit of God put it all together. And that's the night I got on my knees before God and cried out to Him and acknowledged my sin, acknowledged His Son as my Savior. And I received Him that evening as my Savior from my sin. And I have to say that from that moment on, our lives have changed completely to the good, which I'm so thankful for. And I know now, if something should happen to me, being saved, I know that my body is going to go in the ground, and I know my soul and my spirit is going to go and be with the Lord. And someday I'll come back with Him, unite my soul, body, and spirit in a glorified body, and we're going home to be and dwell in that place that He's preparing for us right now. That's the hope and promise that God's given to us, isn't it? I rest on that, beloved. And I don't know about you, but that's a comfort to my heart. Many times when tragic things come into our lives, sometimes you just want to throw your hands up and maybe walk away, quit whatever it is, and as though there's no hope, no end, no light in the tunnel. But there is for the believer. Our light is Christ. And someday we're going home to be with Him. And if He comes tonight, we won't experience that thing called death. We're going to enter right into His presence in the clouds. So praise the Lord for those wonderful promises. And I trust you have that hope tonight also, to know where you're going should something happen to you. And it could. People have walked out church doors and been killed and never received Christ as their Savior. And we know where they are tonight. You know, the early church adopted a very wonderful word for the burying place of their loved ones, as you study the history on it. And it was a Greek word which meant a rest house for strangers or a sleeping place. The same word was used in that day for inns a place where people would go and spend the night. We call them hotels and motels in our time. And there was the place where that you could spend, it was a place where you could spend the night. It's the kind of word that they used there. And the body of the believer here is put into the ground, into a place what we call the cemetery, where that word cemetery comes from. And one day the Lord is coming, and that body is going to be raised up. It's going to be resurrected. It's going to stand up and be united with the soul and the spirit. And so Paul said there in verse 13, he says that he didn't want them to be ignorant of this. As you go back to 1 Thessalonians, you know, the pagan world had no hope as you study it. So for them, death was a frightful thing. Have you ever talk to anyone who really doesn't have assurance of their salvation or to know that if they die, they're going to be with the Lord? Ever talk to people like that? I have. And you know what? They're fearful people, aren't they? They want to tell themselves or convince themselves that it's okay. If something happens to me, I'm going to be okay. But behind all that, there's a fear. In reality, within themselves, of knowing that they're not okay. So there's a fear in the heart of man. It was same back here with the Thessalonians here. And we see that there was an inscription found there in Thessalonica. It said this: after death, no reviving. After the grave, no meeting again. Man, what an empty philosophy. No hope. You die, it's all over. But that's not the truth. And then a Greek poet wrote, he says, hopes are among the living, the dead are without hope. Beloved, I'm thankful I don't have to live among that kind of teaching and living. I can live today with a hope because of what Christ has done for me, and knowing that He's coming again Should I die or should I be awake? I'm going home to be with Him. I'm going to see Him face to face. You know, a blessing I want to share with you, and you're aware of this, that you support our ministry there in the Philippines. You pray for it, give to it financially. And there are men, women, and children being saved that you don't know their names. You've never seen them before. But you know, when we all get to heaven, guess what? We're going to be there, aren't we? And we're going to know each other. So we have that hope. So Paul did not want the believers there in Thessalonica, these young believers, to be without knowing what's going to happen. So he encourages them here in verse 13. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." You have a hope. So stand in that hope, because you're going home to be with the Lord. And then in verse 14 he says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with Him." You know, I want us to notice something here in this verse. And it's interesting, and we need to understand this. It says there that Jesus died and He rose again. That's important. It's easy to read that and just keep on moving on. But we need to understand what Paul was saying here. It doesn't say that Jesus slept. It said that He died. That's the gospel, isn't it? How that He died, He was buried, and He rose again. He didn't sleep. People teach soul sleep. All kind of crazy things being taught, aren't there? But we need to have our nose in the book and let the Spirit of God lead us concerning these precious truths that we need to have embedded in our hearts and in our minds, so that we can stand and upright and live rightly for the Lord. You know, death is mentioned in Scripture. Three different kinds of death. There's physical death, which all of us will experience. And then unless you're saved and the rapture takes place, and then there's spiritual death, don't have time to go into them tonight, and then there's eternal death, an eternal separation from God. As I stop and think about that, it doesn't get any worse than that. To be eternally separated from the love of God. I'm so thankful that the Lord saved my soul so that I would never have to experience that. I'm going to be eternally with Him. And then in verse 15, he says this: "For this we say unto you by," now get this, "the word of the Lord." "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." And of course, that word "prevent," as you know, as you said it, has to do with preceding. There is an order that's going to take place. From those who have died before the rapture until those who come with the Lord in the air and the clouds, there's an order to how it's all going to happen. And Paul lays it out very simply and very clearly here in the following verses. He says there that in verse 16, he says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." The thing that caught my eye here is this. It says, "The Lord Himself." Beloved, I don't know who you're looking to see when the rapture takes place. I'm telling you, it's going to be the Lord Himself. He doesn't say He's going to send an angel. He doesn't say that He's going to send anything else or anyone else but Himself. Why is that? Because He's the only one who has redeemed us from our sin and has paid the price for our sin and has bought us and made us a child of God. Christ Himself. There's no other way. The Lord Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." That's the only way we can get into heaven. That's God's way. I can try to buffalo my way in there on earth, But when life ends, that's it, folks. No more buffaloing around. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. But man, as we think about what's going to take place, should we experience the rapture of the church? Guess what? The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. Man, what a wonderful time that's going to be. And to see Him, we always wonder. We see pictures of Him and this of Him and that of Him, but I really wonder what He looks like. When we see Him, we'll know Him. Because we're going to be just as He is. What a Savior. He's going to come with a shout. He's going to come with the voice of the archangel. And He's going to come with the trump of God. So we need to have our ears open, don't we? He's coming. The Lord Jesus is coming. In verse 17, He says this: "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Man, what a hope. What a promise. We're going to be with Him forevermore. And that word "caught up" means to grasp hastily, means to snatch, it means to lift, it means to transport, it means to rapture. He's going to rapture us out of here. And if you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it tells you how fast that event's going to take place. He says, in the twinkling of an eye. I've heard some statistics on how fast a twinkling is, but I can't remember how fast it was because it was so fast I couldn't obtain it all. But it's fast, isn't it? We're out of here. In a twinkling of an eye, He's going to call us home to be with Him. It's going to be a very orderly procedure, as we see here in verses 16 through 18. And tonight I'd like to close with this, verse 18, where He says this: "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So Paul again is referring them back to the words of God, the promises that He gave to them, the teachings He left with them when He was thrown out of Thessalonica, to fall back on and to meditate upon and to claim. But that word "comfort" there, as you study it, it's not only means comfort in the usual sense that we know it in our language, but also has to do with it means to instruct. It also means to exhort one another, but it also means to talk about. How many times do you talk about the rapture? I find myself talking about it quite a bit because, you know, where's the rapture when I need it sometimes? And but it is a word of comfort, isn't it? It's a word of hope that only God has given to His children. He's coming. He's coming in the air. He's coming in the clouds. He's going to put those that have gone before us. He's going to raise them out of the graves. And they're going to be united with their soul and their spirit. And we're going to meet them. And that word "caught up" there also has the idea of coming alongside. The Lord's going to take us alongside of Him. Man, we're going up together in that place that He's preparing for us. And I don't know about you, but as we see the way the world is going, you know, come Lord Jesus, come. There's nothing else here that I really want except to see souls to be saved and Christians to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and be conformed in the image of Christ. Outside of that, you can have it all. You know, I think of people who, I'm not, if you got a big house, don't think I'm running on you, but every time I see a great big house and people say, "Man, boy, look at that, isn't that wonderful?" And the only thing I can think, and I'm kind of, I think, yeah, I'm going to spend all day dusting, sweeping, cleaning. No, thank you. I'd much rather go golfing and do things of more importance. But then look at that. Man, look at that Cadillac. Man, look at that Mercedes. Yeah, it's in the shop. And I got to drive this old clunker around. And it's wasting time that I could be doing something else. I got to take it to the shop. I just see it all as, hey, I just want to go to heaven and be with the Lord there in His time, in His will. I trust that your hope also, but I also want to say to if there's anyone here that's not saved, and you don't have that hope, I want to give you comfort tonight and assurance that you can have that. The same way I got it, and that's by receiving Christ as your Savior from your sin. If you'll ask Him, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall what? Be saved. Be delivered from the eternal wrath of God that's going to come upon this world. Come upon those who know not His Son as their Savior. The Scriptures talk about hell, and it's a place of torment, beloved. The Scriptures make it very clear. But you don't have to be there. You can be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Himself and be comforted by Him and with all those that are redeemed. You know, I'm thinking about the special music this morning and how sweet it was. But I think, I wish I could sing like that. I just wish, you know, but I'm thinking, someday I'm going to. We're going to give praise and sing praises to the Lord in perfect pitch, and we can't even imagine the sound of heaven that's bringing glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll look at each other and say, I didn't know you could sing that way. Say, well, I know you couldn't, but anyway, it's going to be a wonderful place, isn't it? Get to worship our Lord. And so it's a privilege to serve Him. It's been a blessing for Carol and me to be here to share the work on plowing with you that the Lord is doing. We have much more work to be done there. So we need to continue to be laborers together in that as we wait upon the Lord to come. His coming is soon. As we see the world being laid out for the tribulation period, well, Christ is coming before that. So His coming is soon. What a hope. So if you don't have that tonight, we invite you, where you're sitting, to get home, whatever it is, you have questions about your salvation, whether you're saved or not, you can call the pastor or one of the men, Pastor Thomas, any men in the church here, and be more than happy to open the Word of God with you and show you from this book, as my pastor did with me, how I could have my sins forgiven and become a child of God. Now, I don't have to be ignorant about where I'm going to spend eternity, because Jesus is coming for me, and He's coming for you if you're saved tonight. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the hope of the Scriptures, because they're settled in the blessed hope Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who spoke it, the one who has given it to us, and the one who stands behind every word of it. And Father, we thank You for that. We do pray for the lost, that they would become saved. And what a precious moment that was in my life, as I was seeking the cares of the world, but I was empty and void inside. But when Christ came in, my life changed. And rightfully so, because then we become new creatures in Christ Jesus. And now we live with a hope. And we thank You for that. And Father, thank Thee for giving us this promise of the rapture. It's coming. And it's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. So I pray that each of us will experience that should it take place tonight. Now, Father, thank Thee again for the preciousness of this day, the blessedness of it, because it's been centered around Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His work and His words. There's nothing greater than that. Thank You for it. In Christ's name, amen.
Yes, indeed. Tremendous blessing. You know, that rich man in Luke 16 died, was buried. The Bible says that in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. But child of God, we'll never face that because of what Christ did. Because of the fact that He purchased us, shedding His blood for us. May we, as our brother just admonished us from the Word of God, may we be greatly encouraged, and may we encourage one another, provoking one another into love and good, and unto good works as we do the work of Christ. Let's take